We greet you once again in the very precious name of Jesus. Our great King, the great Shepherd of the sheep, the one that has provided for our needs, brings us together in heavenly places. And I think this morning I have experienced a heavenly place again. I'm glad to be here and happy to be here and glad for the presence of each one. Thank you for your continued prayers. I believe that you have been praying for these services, and I appreciate that. We need the prayers of a brotherhood. We need the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. And as ministers of the gospel, we need God's Spirit to direct our hearts and our thoughts. And this morning I struggled a little bit knowing what God would have me to share. I had a few ideas that I thought I would like to preach about. It's amazing how fast this week of meetings has gone. I have been blessed and have been grateful to be here with you. God has directed my thoughts in a little bit different path this morning than what I thought I was planning to go. But I believe that God does that for a purpose, because he sees all things and he knows all things, and we're so limited in our own view of the needs and whatever, whether that be inspiration, whatever that is. And so I believe that God has brought me to this place to share this message for a reason this morning. You may open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I like to, as a groundwork for this message, I'd like to read the first 16 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll recognize that as God's order of headship. And let's just read these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, doth honor his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You're probably still wondering where I'm going to focus this morning, because these verses have so much in them. We have God's order of headship, we have the responsibility of men, we have the responsibility of woman in church life, in the headship order. But the title I'd like to look at comes from verse 10, where it says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." And that is simply the title of the message this morning, "Power on her head because of the angels." And I'm not just going to focus on our sisters this morning, because I believe that men are called to be the head of the home, the leaders in the home, the ones that are responsible for their homes. But the truth of the matter is, we as men need our wives, our sisters, we need this side of the house to be in support and be here to help us. Like it says, the woman was created as a helpmeet for the man. We certainly appreciate our sister's side of the house. Sisters, have you ever wondered if it's needful to wear a symbol of submission on your head? I suppose, if you're honest, you probably pondered that already at some point in your life. Have you been tempted to doubt the power of your headship veiling that you have? I realize this morning that it takes a lot of time to care for long hair. I suppose that's why many women in our world just simply cut their hair and get rid of it, because it takes time to brush, to comb, to shampoo, to properly care for long hair. And keeping your hair combed and taken care of in a godly Christian manner. You know what? When I read through these verses, there's a blessing in all that, and there's a reason why God wants you to do that. In verse 10, it tells us that one of the reasons is because as God views you and God sees you, God has ordained this in a way that as you do this, it says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head." The church needs that power. The Christian home needs that power. In fact, the Bible tells us that the angels themselves understand the symbolism of the veiling. And I don't think that any of us would desire to be without heaven's protection. Just turn with me back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. There's a verse here that I believe refers to this. There's a thought in a verse here. It's maybe not in this same context necessarily, and yet it's in the context of vowing a vow in chapter 5 and verse 6. Well, I'll just back up and read verse 5. "Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." And then it says this, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angels that it was an error." And that's the thought that I want in connection to the thought of the Christian woman's veiling this morning. So it tells us that you have power on your head with your veiled head. And it says in verse 10, back in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, that it is because of the angels. And so I believe that as you might ask the question, you know, is this really necessary? And you ponder that. It says here, "Neither say thou before the angels that it was an error." That's the thought I want to bring front to this thought and connect that here, because the angels understand the symbolism of this and the veiled head, and we're going to pick up on that thought a little later in this message. I just want to lay some of the groundwork. Now, moving beyond that thought, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 tells us, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." So this is not just one angel that is taking notice to the headship order of man and woman, and especially the veiled head. I want to think about the headship order this morning. I'm not just going to dwell on the veiled head this morning, but I'm just trying to bring this bring the groundwork together here a little bit, to an innumerable company of angels. So there are many, many angels that are taking notice to God's order of headship and to our obedience to this church life in this way, when men take the lead in church life and women submit themselves and in the home and so on. The angels take notice. Revelations talks about this innumerable company of angels. It says, "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." In other words, gives the idea that there's hosts, multitudes, many, 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 innumerable. So think about this question this morning, dear friends. Who of us as God's children does not want to be counted among those who are surrounded with such a company of angels that are there for our protection? It's a beautiful thought to realize that God has instituted and has made it so that we have this power. That thought of power came up in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I don't think we can wrap our minds around the attributes of God, the attributes of God's love and His power, and what it means to have understanding, to have that sound mind, and to be able to understand the will of God for our lives. I don't think we can grasp that enough at times. Another question for us to ponder this morning would be, who of us is powerful enough to withstand the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, without accepting God's order for our lives and the provisions our Heavenly Father has made for the protection and well-being of the church, the sisters as they veil their head, and all of us as we seek to do God's work and get involved in the mysteries of the gospel and are stewards of them. We need the blessing of God. And this is what this is saying, that this is giving us the power for that. You see, God has chosen to employ a visible means to keep us aware of our, I'll call it heavenly or divinely appointed man-woman relationship, the headship order and the headship relationship. The head covering is a voluntary veiling of your glorious sisters to give God a sign of your dedication to His order and His design. And it's just beautiful to realize that as God has designed it, He takes notice, His angels take notice, and it just makes it beautiful. It is also only as we are really ready, as we are really submitting ourselves, I should say, to the headship order, that we find real joy, real peace in our experience. God has designed it to do that. And as we are in submission to His plan, we find cause to have joy and experience that in our journey. Now, I'd like to just focus in this morning a little bit on what all is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe that Paul explained the headship order in verse 3. He says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." So we have God, we have Jesus, we have Christ, we have man, and we have woman. That is the order he gives. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He puts the order right here, and we can understand that. It's not hard for us to grasp that. And he goes on to say that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. I think that verse, we understand that. That means that as leaders and as the headship, as men who are leaders, we are not to wear some kind of symbol on our heads to pray or to prophesy. Our head is Jesus Christ, and we would dishonor Christ by having our head covered with some kind of sign like our sisters wear. I don't believe that means this morning, brothers, that if you wear some kind of a cap or a hat or some kind of headgear that is there for weather protection, and you have the urge to pray, that you necessarily couldn't at all pray with that on. I do believe, personally, I think it's a sign of respect that if we feel moved to pray, that we just take our hat, cap, whatever is off our heads. We see that happening. But I don't think God would not hear your prayer if you were urged to, in an emergency situation or so, to pray all of a sudden and you had a cap on and you forgot to take it off. But I also believe, out of respect, we ought to teach ourselves and to think about the fact that maybe a part of that would be just to remove that. But what he's referring to here is that we as men should not be covered with something that we wear as a sign like our sisters. But our sisters are to wear that as a sign of their submission to their head, which is the man. And so I think we understand that this morning, but I think it's good to reemphasize these truths and teach them. And so Paul explains this. You see, the order is grounded in creation. We see that in verse 8 and 9. For the man was not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Adam was created first. And then the woman was created from the rib that God took out of the side of Adam and used that to create the woman. But neither are men without women this morning. We need each other. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And so we have this order was already established in creation. In the beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. The Word was Christ. Christ submits to his Father and seeks to honor him. And only through Christ do we have access to the Father. So it's knitted together. And here Paul says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." God created man in his own image. He created them woman. He created the woman in his own image from the rib or the flesh of man to be his helpmeet to the glory of man, the Bible tells us. Now, as we think of God's order of headship, God's order is for the smooth function of the human race. God had a reason for doing this. Paul does not suggest here in these verses that the woman is in any way inferior. Man and woman, men and women, husband and wife, they complement each other. They are both equally important in their roles in the eyes of God. One is not above the other. Men and women are equal in their salvation. Galatians 3:28, "There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus," the Bible tells us. God's grace and mercy are equally accessible for both. But God's grace does not do away with the order of headship, like some would like to think it does. I like to think this morning about two potentials. Two things that I believe are a potential that can happen. And that is the woman, first of all, number one, is the woman's potential to dishonor her head. Notice verse 4 and 5. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Or in other words, he says, if the hair is not covered, she may as well cut her hair. The hair may as well not be there, is what he's saying. But he also tells us that it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair. Her long hair is a beautiful thing. It's there for her glory, for the glory of man, and God created it that way. And you know, our natural inclination is, we notice that. In society today, when you see a woman with long hair or uncut hair, I think most of us men kind of take notice to that. It's something that gets your attention today. It's because God gave it to her for her glory, even though it's not covered sometimes. But God is a God of order. The sun, the moon, the stars, the rest of God's creation move in perfect, predictable patterns. It all just happens in precision. God is a God of order. Plants and animals grow and reproduce according to the plan of the master designer. It all happens in God's design. Our human body is a marvelous display of how God places every member, everything. Our bodies function together in harmony with the other parts, and it all works together in precision. Way beyond our, we can't even explain it. And so it is in the church, in God's order of the human family. And when anything gets out of order, what happens? There's chaos. There's a lot of things that can happen. It's not any different in the human family. Disorder brings frustration. Whenever things begin to happen outside of God's prescribed order, it causes for trouble. It brings trouble. I like to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to think about that thought just a little bit further. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter addresses some of this. He addresses the order of headship and wife's responsibility and some of the things that he says. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Here, Peter explains further the relationship that is to be in our homes between husband and wife. And what this headship covering is actually saying that is a symbol of, it's a symbol of a smooth running relationship where husband and wives find their place, where fathers lead out in the home and take their responsibility. And they do it in a loving way, considering the family, considering the children, considering their wives. He says, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, according as you understand her and her ways and the way that God has created her and made her and her needs. They're different than what ours are. And as we realize that and as we honor that, we give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, he says. And I think that simply means probably in the physical ways, women are a little weaker than men. But I don't think it means in spiritual ways and in other ways. That's not the case. We need our wives and the help that they give us in spiritual things and in emotional stability and those kind of things. We as men are not always as strong and quite as tough as we'd like to think. And I'm old enough to acknowledge that. I need the stability of my wife. Emotionally, sometimes I need her to tell me, look, it's not like you're making it seem like it is. It's not that bad. Get out of the thinking patterns and the thoughts you're in. You know, we need that kind of prompting sometimes. They do that for us. And it's just one example, many we could make. But he says, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so I believe that when the home operates and works in this way, here is the power of God. And I believe the whole Spirit of God is unleashed when the home functions and works like this. I believe it's where we get the stability and good Christian homes come from. But you see, the potential is for the woman to dishonor her head by not taking her place and not taking the prescribed order that God, women are to submit themselves. That doesn't mean that you can't give your husband some advice sometimes, or that you can't ask him some questions. Well, what makes you say that, or why are you doing that? There's place for that. But you do that in the meek and the quiet spirit in the manner that Peter talks about here. I think it's right for women to ask and men to explain why we do the things. But finally, our wives and our daughters and the order of the home is that we find our submission and our working relationship with the leader of your home in a godly way. The second potential is for women. Women is to be a glory to her head. And this is what God wants. We find this in going back to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians again in verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And so this morning, the second potential you have, sisters, is to be a glory to your husband. By your submission, a woman's relationship with a man should honor and should praise him. You're here to help him and be a helpmeet unto him. Proverbs 31 talks about this, and I just want to pull a few verses out of Proverbs 31 where it talks about the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, I want you to notice verse 11 and 12. I love these verses because when the relationship in the home and women find their place and men take their place in leading out, there's a confidence and a trust and a working together that becomes beautiful. In Proverbs 31 and verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the relationship that God longs for in the Christian home, in Christian marriages, in family life. where you give glory to your man and you're there supporting and you're working there in family life with him under his wing and under his authority, as it were. We don't like that word authority, and I almost don't like to use it because that makes people cringe sometimes. But it says that when the relationship is what it ought to be, then the woman can trust in the man, can trust her leader. And the leader can trust his helpmeet. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. And I hope this morning, and I'm speaking to marriages where this is happening, where you just trust your wife. You trust your wife to do the best she knows how to do when you're not around, and there's decisions, there's things that all of a sudden are her decision, that she has the courage to go forth and do what she needs to do at the moment and believes that she's going to have our blessing on it. We talk about those things prior, and we have an understanding with each other, and we know each other's heartbeat. We're one. We're together. And yes, as heirs of the gift of life, like Peter talks about, and our sisters are here to do us good. And they have, that doesn't mean that they won't sometimes make mistakes and maybe it doesn't all end up good. But that's not their heart. That's not their desire. They are here with a heart and a desire to help the home, to help us to better the home. In other words, God created women to help man fulfill God's purposes for us here on earth and in earth life and in family life. And she enriches us with her womanly qualities that we need. That's why God created woman in the first place, because there was a need that the rest of creation couldn't fill for Adam. And so God created a woman. But as women submit to her, to their head, and take their place in God's order with humility, with meekness, with chastity, with modesty, with purity. That's how she brings glory to the home, glory to her husband, glory to family life. A woman is also the glory of God when she is the glory of man. Let's not forget that. God takes notice when the home functions and when women are properly veiled and are taking their place. A woman in her place will receive great honor and great blessings. Dear sisters, this morning there is a reward that is waiting for your faithfulness as you submit and find yourself in God's order this morning. And I like to think a little bit more about this thought of power on her head. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. A veiled woman, a properly veiled woman this morning, has power on her head. In other words, heaven's protection. Power means not power, not in like we talk in power, but it means privilege. It means freedom. It means delegated influence. That's what it means. Yes, it means authority. You have an authority. You have a place of which a woman out of her place knows nothing about. There is a blessing and a reward in being where God wants you. And God gives you some special privileges that otherwise you don't have. So it's power on your head in that way this morning. And that's what verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. She ought to have this privilege, this freedom, this influence, which comes from the blessing of God. It's a reward, we might say. It also says that it is because of the angels. And I alluded to that a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit more about that, because the angels are ministering spirits, the Bible tells us, sent forth to minister to who? To the saints. To the saints. And so when you follow God's prescribed order of headship, both sides of the house, the angels are here to minister to us. I'm thankful this morning that we have the Holy Spirit that speaks to our spirit. The Spirit of God and our spirits can unite and talk together and speak together and have a relationship. But you know what? We don't think about that so much with the angels, but I believe there are times when angels minister to us too. The angels are among us. They're present. They're here. They're watching. In fact, I find it very encouraging to realize, and I don't have the reference with me right now, but you know there's a verse in the Bible that says that every one of our little children has his own appointed angel that is with him. We all do that. We have angels that are observing and watching and are over us. The angels are ministering spirit. Angels are observing and noticing those who are showing submission and glory to God and his prescribed order. They're there for our help and our protection. The angels grant protection and bear witness to God. That's another part of them, of the women who are submitted and women who are meek and submissive and humble and finding their place in God's place in the order of headship and so on. I wrote a verse down in my notes and I'm even drawing a blank what it was, but it says Matthew 18:10, and I'm not exactly sure anymore why I wrote that down. Okay, this is the verse, this is the thought, this is what I was referring to. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, talking about the children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. For in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father. That's for our children, that's for us, that's for all of us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. According to Psalm 103, verse 20, the angels excel in strength, it says. And so this morning, we have this headship order all laid out for the church and for the function of the home and the family. And as we all fill our place, we really have heaven's protection. We don't think about it in that way so much, but we do. I like to just make a few practical applications this morning because I believe our sisters do need encouragement. We want our sisters to have properly veiled heads. And I just like to say this morning, sisters, your covering is a sign even to the angels that you are qualified to pray and eligible for their ministry and for their protection. We talked about that already, but think about it in that way this morning. As you cover your head and as you go to all the efforts of taking care of that long hair and putting it up in an orderly and decent and a nice way, there are blessings, far more than just the natural blessings and the outward appearance and all that. It's way beyond that. It makes you qualified that you can enter into the Holy of Holiness and seek God and find protection and find strength and power to go on and to live the Christian life and have God's blessing upon your life. I also believe this morning in a practical way that the way you wear your headship veiling should express an attitude of meekness and sobriety, sincerity and humility. I believe it should be in a way that the headship veiling is noticed and not just there with a hair arrangement that it's obvious that the hair arrangement is the thing that gets the attention more than the headship veiling. And I just lay that out as a practical thing this morning. Think about that. There are ways of combing and putting up hair and wearing your veiling that I believe brings the smile of God's approval on your life. I'll just say it that way. I also believe this morning that as fathers, God has called us to lead and to be the example, to be the leaders in our home, be the leaders of submission as we are the heads of our home. Fathers, as God has called us to lead and to be the example of submission to our head, which is Christ, it makes it possible and creates a desire for our sisters to live by this ordinance as well. My point is this. If we ask our sisters to live in this way, and I have a burden for this in beyond just this subject this morning, I believe sometimes that we as fathers are this side of the house, I'm going to say, are letting the Christian identity up to this side of the house more than we should. I think we ought to think about that, and especially in our clothing choices and the way we dress and so on during the week, let's remember whose people we are, and let's stress that the world can see that we are different than just the normal run of the world. And let's not make it so that the sisters are bearing the brunt of that, and we can hide in the crowd until we have our wives by our side, and then finally people say, oh, they are Mennonites. I don't think it should be that way, and I think you understand what I'm saying. It's a burden that I have in my heart, and I just give that encouragement to this side of the house this morning. Fourthly, and the last point I'm going to make this morning is, Father, it is our responsibility to see that our church standards are maintained and practiced and not lost. That is our God-given responsibility in our homes, in church life. It is up to us. It is up to us. It is a protection that is realized in the church, in our homes, in our own lives. It's all part of Godship's order and Godship's and God's blessing on the home. My thoughts go back to verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. Paul had a burden that the things that he had preached, that he had taught, that they would be kept. And I believe this morning that we do well as a church to keep ordinances, to put things in place, make practical applications to our day and our age and our time that we live in. And as we do that, and God looks down upon us and says, you know what, here's a people that's making the applications to the time and the year that they're living in and the things that they're facing. They're trying to find their way, and God puts his blessing on it, just like he does on this whole layout of the Christian home and fathers taking their places and mothers in submission to that. And so this morning, I just encourage you as a congregation again to have Christian homes, find peace in your homes, and work together that we might be heirs of the grace of life together and experience the blessing that God has for us. Let's kneel for prayer.